So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 41 through 54. So I'll just read the translations. Okay. Certain translation by Srila Prabhupada, text 41. Even maidservants who are constantly engaged in rendering service to the husband are honored by the husband, and thus they have nothing for which to lament. Our position, however, is that we are maidservant of the maidservant. Therefore, we are most unfortunate. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, being neglected by their husband and seeing Krita Dyuti's opulence in possessing a son, Krita Dyuti's co-wives always burned in envy, which came extremely strong. As their envy increased, they lost their intelligence, being extremely hard-hearted and unable to tolerate the king's neglect. They finally administered poison to the son. Unaware of the poison administered by her co-wives, Queen Krita Dyuti walked within the house, thinking that her son was sleeping deeply. She did not understand that he was dead. Thinking that her child has been sleeping for a long time, Queen Krita Dyuti, who was certainly intelligent, ordered the nurse, "My dear friend, please bring my son here." When the maidservant approached the child, who was lying down, she saw that his eyes were turned upward. There were no signs of life, all his senses having stopped, and she could understand that the child was dead. Seeing this, she immediately cried, "Now I am doomed," and fell to the ground. In great agitation, the maidservant struck her breast with both hands and cried loudly in regretful words. Hearing her loud voice, the queen immediately came, and when she approached her son, she saw that he was suddenly dead. In great lamentation, her hair and dress in disarray, the queen fell to the ground unconscious. O King Parikshit, hearing the loud crying, all the inhabitants of the palace came, both men and women. Being equally aggrieved, they also began to cry. The queens who had administered the poison also cried pretentiously, knowing full well their offense. When King Chitraketu heard of his son's death from unknown causes, he became almost blind. Because of his great affection for his son, his lamentation grew like a blazing fire, and as he went to see the dead child, he kept slipping and falling on the ground. Surrounded by his ministers and other officers and the learned brahmanas present, the king approached and fell unconscious at the child's feet, his hair and dress scattered. When the king, breathing heavily, regained consciousness, his eyes were tearful and he could not speak. When the queen saw her husband, King Chitraketu, merged in great lamentation and saw the dead child, who was the only son in the family, she lamented in various ways. This increased the pain in the cores of the hearts of all the inhabitants of the palace and the ministers and all the brahmanas. The garland of flowers decorating the queen's head fell, and her hair scattered. Falling tears melted the corallium on her eyes and moistened her breasts, which were covered with kumkuma powder. As she lamented the loss of her son, her loud crying resembled the sweet sound of a curare bird. Okay, so text 54. So please repeat. Aho vidhatas tvam ativa balisho yas tvatma srishti apratirupam ihase pare nujivati aparasya ya mritir viprayayash chetvam asi druvaha paraha. Aho vidhatas tvam ativa balisho yastvatma srishti apratirupam ihase pare nujivatya aparasya ya mritir viprayayasce tvam asi druvah paraha. Aho vidhatas tvam ativa balisho yastvatma srishti apratirupam ihase pare nujivatya aparasya ya mritir viprayayasce tvam asi druvah paraha. Aho, alas, in great lamentation. Vidhataha, O Providence, tvam, you, ativa, very much, balishaha, inexperienced, yaha, who, tu, indeed, atma srishti, of your own creation, apratirupam, just the opposite, ihase, you are performing and desiring. Pare, while the father or the elder. Nu, indeed, jivati, is living. Aparasya, of one who was born later. Ya, which? Mritihi, death. Viparyayaha, contradictory. Chet, if. Tvam, you. Asi, are. Druvaha, indeed. Paraha, an enemy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Alas, O Providence, O Creator, you are certainly inexperienced in creation, for during the lifetime of a father, you have cursed the death of his son, thus acting in opposition to your creative laws. If you are determined to contradict these laws, you are certainly the enemy of living entities, and are never merciful. Purport. This is the way a conditioned soul condemns the Supreme Creator when he meets reverses. Sometimes he accuses the Supreme Personality of Godhead of being crooked because some people are happy and some are not. Here the Queen blames Supreme Providence for her son's death. Following the creative laws, a father should die first and then his son. If the creative laws are changed according to the whims of a providence, then providence certainly should not be considered merciful, but must be considered inimical to the created being. Actually, it is not the creator, but the conditioned soul who is inexperienced. he does not know how the subtle laws of fruitive activities work, and without knowledge of these laws of nature, he ignorantly criticizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gauranga. This is actually a very nice passage explaining more about the living entities in general. Here we see King Chitraketu. He wanted so much his son, right? How many wives he had? 10 million. He could not get one. Why is that? He was capable. He must have been really. Each wife had her own palace. They wouldn't live together. Anyway. So he was capable. But he was not destined to have son. But, okay, he really wanted. So then he did the right thing. No, he prayed, and by the mercy of Sadhu, then he got a son. But the question is actually, was it a mercy? Anyway, he got a son, but only one. So the one wife was happy. And the 9,999,999 wives were envious. Because naturally he would give most attention to the queen who delivered the son. And he was so blinded that he thought that everybody is happy. But because, he was attached. And because of the attachment, then he was unable to see what's happening. He was unable to see the reality. He was blind. So then, the wives, they plotted against the one queen. So who was the cause of that the king didn't give any attention to the rest of the wives? It was the son. So, okay, here's the problem. Remove the problem. It's done. So, the king, because of the attachment, now he was, he's unable to think. And he thinks that because the son is lost, everything is lost. He is lost, just everything. And we see the queen, she blames the providence. Right? Where did we see the example like that? Do you remember Kurukshetra war? Right? What happens there? Abhimanyu gets killed. What does Arjuna do? He laments. My son, young son, how come he has gone? He didn't know what the destiny prepared. Who was he? He was so attached that he was unable to see. Fortunately, then he... Fortunately, then he had Krishna as his guru. So then, Krishna pacified him. And because Krishna is the creator, he is the Supreme Lord, so he just took him to see him. And then when he saw Abhimanyu in heavenly planets, happily enjoying, okay, whatever, I'm not attached. Done. The queen did not have the opportunity. But as we read later, then Narada Muni with, I think, Angira Muni comes. And then because of the strong lamentation, they bring the son back to life. And they just simply ask him, okay, well, you want to stay here? You want to be with the family? Now we have option. Okay, if you want, we can continue your life. And the son kind of like, I don't know them. I don't want to be here. So then he leaves. And that time the king understands. Srila Prabhupada also comments there that we are so attached to the child. But the attachment, this is our weakness. In fact, now, the living entity actually can appear, can be our worst enemy, appear in the family, in our family, and dies. So that's the worst revenge one can take. And why is that? Because we are on the bodily platform. So we should first of all understand how to get above this platform. I've heard about one couple, devotees. And then, what happened that they had a car accident. And their son, very young, died. So the first thing, what happened, then the mother blamed Krishna. And took her very, very long time before she started to accept that it's not actually Krishna's fault. Maybe. It took her a very long time. She was so convinced. It's his fault. Why did he take him away? So, she didn't understand who Krishna is. So then, we may have a lot of knowledge. Reading Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, he's the Bhagavan. Yes, we know. And something happens to us. What does he think that he is? What is he doing with my life? Right? We have the right to question the Lord. We think like that. Because we are in control. That's what we think. And because of that, then so many disturbances come in our life. And if we don't understand this, we are going to be suffering everything. Every moment we are suffering. When we think that we are performing some pious activity, and for that we may go even to heaven, it's suffering. Because after heaven is the hell. The demigods, they are actually, well, those smart ones. They are envious of humans. Because in the human form of life, we have the option. We can decide to do the right thing and then go back to Godhead. There is one thing which every living entity can do. Nobody can stop you. Even Krishna cannot stop you. Right? What is that? Everybody can do it. And it determines where you go. What does the jiva can do? Jiva is atomic part. So small. Right? What can jiva do? Can do nothing? No, it can do one thing very well. What is that? No? desire. Right? So then the jiva can desire. That's the nature of jiva. And in the body, which belongs to the Paramatma, it's Krishna's. So then the Paramatma is in control according to the jiva's desires. So now you have to take really control of your desires. Because if you desire nonsense, you will get it. You want sense gratification. You want money. You want to enjoy. You get it. But the laws of nature are in place. So you desire that. But the consequences are also yours. You go to Govinda's, right? You order some pizza or something, whatever. Then they bring it to you. And you say, no, I didn't want this one. No, I wanted something else. Sorry, you ordered this. So the consequences are you pay. You have to pay. Oh, you don't have money? Okay, go wash dishes. Right? Consequences are there. Every desire which we have, there are consequences. Every moment of our life, we have to decide, what do we want? You can be sitting here in the temple, or you can go outside and eat, or you can go, you know, enjoy somewhere, watch some movie, whatever you want to do. Who can stop you? Your choice. But the it seems like it's free. But every choice has a consequence. So which one do you choose? How do you know what to choose? Training. Training is absolutely necessary. We see the example of Ajamila in Bhagavatam. What's described in Bhagavatam? What is described? Ajamila, and at the end of his life, then he was calling Narayan, his son. And then because of that, then Yamadutas could not touch him. And it was Vishnudutas. Now, what actually happened is that lifetime, he did not go immediately back to Godhead. He got another chance. He got again born as human, as a devotee, and at the next lifetime, he went back to Godhead. And the acharyas do comment, like, why did he actually... How could he call Narayan at the end of his life? Because almost whole life was sinful, very sinful. At the end of his life, but he was calling Narayan the son, but actually he was calling Narayan as the Narayan. It wasn't the son. He was thinking of Narayan. And how it could happen? By his training. He was trained properly at a young age. So then, later on, he fell down. And he was entangled in so many nonsense activities. But at the end of his life, he remembered. That saved him. We have to be very conscious of what do we do, right? Okay, desire, right? How do we purify desire? How do we know how to desire? How do we train ourselves? What determines one's desire? Any takers? Thinking? Well, how do you think? Okay, good. Always? Yeah. So what determines? Yes?
Association.
Okay, that's the means how you achieve it, but what is the one to achieve? What is the name of our society? It's consciousness. Animals, anamoi. What do they think about? They are purely conscious of food. And to the extent you took my food, I kill you. And it's right. And when somebody would come and not share their food, they will think he's stupid or he is not powerful enough. He's doing out of fear. They will not understand anything beyond anamoi, animals. So people who are on that platform, they think like animals. They act like animals. They cannot understand anything else. That's the far out thing. That those who are on the lower platform of consciousness cannot understand anything from the higher platform of consciousness. To them, it's incomprehensible. So, on the pranamoya platform, the moralists, right? Okay, I want to enjoy, and I understand you also want to enjoy, I can tolerate it. As long as you don't bother me. I am okay, you are okay. Right? That's it. But if you bother me, well, I'll punish you. I'll get back to you. Not very high. It's also called like just extended sense gratification. Means you want to enjoy your own senses and you tolerate others also enjoying. It's like higher animalistic platform. And then, so people on that platform will desire just sense gratification. They don't understand anything else. You talk to them, dharma? What is this? They will not understand. Manamoy, then the people start to grasp. Then there are some rules. It's not just the morality. Then the dharma is being, you know, applied. But it's still bodily platform. So that's the time when, you know, you can talk about caste system. Okay, you have certain, you know, duties in a society, you have to perform it, you have to do it. If you don't, you get punished. But there is no God consciousness. Vigyanamoy, that's a platform which actually purifies the dharma to the level of Varnashrama dharma and Daivya Varnashrama dharma. So then the people now understand, I don't belong here. I have to do something about it. So what am I supposed to do about it? You follow the rules and regulations. Which ones? Vaidhi Bhakti. So based on that, then okay, I don't understand everything, but I want to. So Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. Now that's happening, all happening. And because of that, then the consciousness of those people, devotees, start elevating. But there are still sometimes materialistic desires. And up to the stage of then Anandamoy. That's pure consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. So that's the time when a devotee actually is purified and all he thinks about is Krishna. That's what we want. So the desires are depending on the consciousness of the person. And how do we come to purify the desires? Then association, sadhu sangha. You associate with asadhu sangha, then your consciousness also will be affected, but the wrong way. And so the six activities which enhances devotional service, as Rupa Goswami describes, right? The six exchanges among the devotees enhance devotional service. Darati pratigrihnati, guhyam akhiti prichati, bhungte bojayate. So that's how a devotee purifies his consciousness, and that's how one purifies the desires. So if that's all in place, one can elevate himself to platform nishta and above nishta, to prema. Because in the prema, the devotees don't desire anything else than Krishna, serving Krishna anyway. However you want. There are unlimited Vaikuntha planets. So it can be Vaikuntha planets or it can be the highest, Goloka. It's all up to you. So the devotees must become Atma Nivedana, fully surrendered to the Lord. And then the desires are pure, the activities will be pure, and everything happens the proper way. But until then, it's difficult. So then we need to practice it, so then we don't end up like Chitraketu Maharaj. Unless you have some special connections, and when you are in difficulty, Narada Muni comes and he instructs you, maybe. But if you don't, take association of the devotees. Because we need to understand that we are in this together. We need to help each other. And help in what? Purifying one's consciousness. So being friends means not that, oh, Prabhu, you are such a pure devotee, you are everything behind his back, he is like this. No, we don't do that. That's not friendship. What's friendship? Hey, I saw you were doing something. That was wrong. Oh, you're not my friend? I am your friend. That's why I'm telling you that something wrong. Who tells you that you do something wrong? A person who is your friend. Why? Because he wants you to improve. A person who does not tell you that you do things wrong and who always glorifies you, he is your greatest enemy. He doesn't care about you. He cares about something which you have, but not you. It may sound really good, but that's all. You see, Krishna, being the dear friend of Arjuna, how is he dealing with him? You fool. That's what he tells him. Because he was completely bewildered. So he corrected him. So friends should be able to correct each other and should also be able to take it. That means friendship. So if we can help each other, then we can actually progress somewhere. There is no permanent solution to any material problem other than spiritual solution. Right? You see Bhagavatam, second canto, last chapter. What's the name of the chapter? 10th chapter. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. All questions. There is no some questions or almost all. All. But Bhagavatam doesn't talk about my job. Should I do this or that? He doesn't answer that. So it's not true. Some may argue like this. But only those who don't study Bhagavatam. Because if you read Bhagavatam, you understand what is your job. Or what should be your job. Everything is explained. Everything is answered. So, this is very important to properly read. And not just read, study. Study Shastra. Study Srila Prabhupada's purports. If we do that, there is no question that we will not know what to do. There is no question that our consciousness will not be elevating. We have to start with ourselves. But then, what do we do next? You see, our society, as Srila Prabhupada said, will continue for 10,000 years. So now, we have to also focus on our children. We have to properly train our children. Right? When we join ISKCON, or Krishna Consciousness Society, then as an adult, it's not so easy. Because the ego is already there, and we have so many anarthas, we have so many reasons. Oh, no, somebody tells you not do it like this. Oh, but why? My mother told me different. Right? Sometimes it's like very actually strong argument. Funny situation, but not funny at all. In Mayapur, there were some Bengali brahmacharis. And from high-class families. And then in the families, you learn how to serve, right? You know how to serve prasad and everything. But then, somehow, when they join the Prabhupada's movement, so then they thought, okay, that was material, this is spiritual. So now, when spiritual is opposite to the material, so whatever you have learned during the material life, give up. So then, when they were serving, and actually serving to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they just would not follow anything which they knew from their home. Now, if they would, Maharaj would be very happy. But because they didn't, he was very angry. And then, just a simple question. I mean, you know how to serve. You learn how to serve. Why don't you serve the way you know? Oh, we thought it's wrong. We thought that's material. So you give it up. And then what do? You just spontaneously, whatever comes. And it's a mess. So that's not the case. Training is important. And then you have to be able to discriminate what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. You keep the right, give up the wrong. But as an adult, you get your training and then you have to consciously give it up, which is sometimes very, very difficult. Right? I mean, many studied, you know, high universities, colleges, IIT, you know, right? But what do you learn there? Krishna consciousness? So sometimes it's very difficult to accept the Shastra as it is because, no, I learned in the school it's like this. Darwin, why Darwin is wrong? He's right. But Shastra says, oh, what is this? We may argue, we may not know. We have to consciously educate ourselves again. Like there is an example. There were two boys wanting to learn piano. So they would go, they came to a piano teacher. And then the teacher asked, okay, do you know how to play? I said, no, I don't know. I just wanted to start. All right. Okay, I'll teach you 100 rupees a week. Okay, fine. Thank you. Then the other boy. Do you know how to play piano? Yeah, I know. Show me. So he played something. And then, yeah, the teacher, like, would you teach me? Yeah, I'll teach you. How much? 200 rupees a week. What? He doesn't know anything and you teach him for 100 rupees. And then I know so much already and I would pay double of that? Why? Well, first, I have to undo what you have done already and then I can teach you. So what you have now learned, it's useless. So now I have to now properly teach you. Sometimes it's very difficult. Elder you are, then it's more difficult to accept that whatever you have learned throughout your life was useless. But for children, it's very easy to train them the way how they should be trained. They accept it, everything. You have the authority, they respect you, they will accept it. And then it's very easy to train them. And once they are trained, then same like Ajamil, they will remember it throughout their life. Even though they may fall down, now here and there, something may happen. But they have much better position. So if we want to actually fulfill the Prabhupada's desire, we have to do something about that. Focus on oneself, but once you do something, next you should focus on the next generation. Preaching and now getting devotees, again, like new devotees, the adults, it's always the first generation. The next generation are the children of the devotees who go through the training. It's very important. So that should be also our effort. Actually, it should be our primary effort. And somehow, no, it's being neglected. We should focus on the training of the children. Otherwise, things are messy. Big communities in the West or in India, where do the children go? Schools. How does Srila Prabhupada call the modern education? You know it. Right. Why do we do that? What is the reason for it? What reason do we have not to give our children the best? We don't. We just don't talk about it. But it's time to start talking about it. Because this is the only way how we can elevate our consciousness and ensure that the consciousness of the devotees, the next generation devotees, will be higher than ours. So they will be more Krishna conscious than we are. That's the Sarva Shri Prabhupada. Why don't we do it? So we should focus on that. And then things will go much more smooth. All right, any questions? But see, there is a difference when you take prasadam consciously because you want to take prasad, and there's a difference if you take like unconsciously. You get agata security, but nothing else. Though, like, see, there is in Malkota, there is a lake. Ramanujacharya was eating prasad, and a few crumbles fall into the lake. There were fish. The fish ate it, they change into forehand form, Vaikuntha. And the disciples, wow. Just watching, what happened? The fish just took crumbles of your Mahaprasad and then back to Godhead. And we are eating your prasad for so long and we are still here. How is that? So, we are consciously eating. Yeah, give him, that's more. No, I need to purify myself. No, touch your feet, no, and all this. But what is actually the consciousness? I want to enjoy. That's in the background. The fish had no attachment. And because of that, then one crumble is enough. Tukaram Maharaj, you know, when he was going back to Godhead, you see the Viman. The Vishnudutas are there. Then Tukaram Maharaj, he comes to his friend. Oh, look, it's there. Let's go. I can take you. There were like four or five friends. None of them went. They had all, no, look, my daughter is sick. I have to take care of her. Or crop is coming. If I don't do it, no, my family will starve. What will people say? Everybody has some desire, some attachment, and reasons, like so-called reasons, that why they cannot do what they are supposed to. But, okay, if you now promise going back to Godhead, right, okay, I am the incarnation of Avatar and you don't have to do anything for it and I will take you back to Godhead, you will get plenty of followers. But do we want that? We don't want that. Because it's not true. That's cheating. So, desires. We have to actually understand, following the four regulative principles that regulates your desires. You want to have sex? Okay, the best not to have sex. Stay brahmachari, but you still need to? Okay, you can, but regulate it. You have to regulate your life. If you do that, then you still have opportunity to elevate your consciousness. But if you don't regulate your life, where is your chance? Where is it going to stop? When is going to stop your desiring sense gratification? Once Akbar asked Birbal, when does lust stop in the body? And Birbal said, lust never stops. No, I don't believe you. Must, no. So then, Birbal said, okay, I'll show you. just wait. And then after a few weeks, he said, okay, come. Now, get in your chariot and take your daughter and then let's go. I'll show you. So they go. And in one village, there is an old man, sick, dying. He's on his deathbed. And he's suffering so much. Then Birbal tells him, okay, bring your daughter and stand there in front of him. Then she stands there. Nicely, the man is suffering. And dies. That's the position. Lust never stops. If we keep feeding it, it will get greater and greater, and doesn't matter the age. So if you don't regulate it, you have no chance. That's not good. So we have to follow the Shastra, Guru Sadhu Shastra. And what they tell us? You follow, you regulate your life. Others may call you stupid. Oh, no, you don't have sex, or you don't drink, or you don't gamble, you don't eat meat, or you are useless, you are stupid. Who cares about them? Let them do what they want. But don't get confused. And? No. So if you need to do other things, regulate yourself. If you don't have to, just don't do it at all. The best. Hare Krishna. Okay. Well, how much time we have?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful presentation. Probably I have two questions.
Okay.
One of the questions has to do with choice. And the second question is about slaughterhouse.
Okay. Okay. So, now the choice, right? Ramanuja Acharya. How did he become Ramanuja Acharya? He was married man. He was having like happy marriage. But his wife offended his guru. He gave up everything and didn't turn back, took sannyas, became acharya. Highly respected acharya. But in the society, that's a bad thing to do. I mean, she didn't mean it maybe like that. No, why did you leave her alone? Why did you left her? He's bad man. Is he? From one certain level of consciousness, yes. How can he give up his wife? From higher level of consciousness, that's the right thing to do. So if you are looking at someone whose consciousness is higher from the lower platform, you cannot understand. You can only accept it as Guru Sadhu Shastra say. How do you understand the Goswamis, how they behave? We don't. We cannot. Vamshiraj Babaji. His Gornitai. He is worshipping Gornitai. One day, that the offering bowl's missing. Hey, what are you doing? You are supposed to be now the Supreme Lord and you cannot take care of your boss. I'm not cooking for you. Okay. So they didn't get anything to eat. And then later on, Nittai boss appears. So, okay, I'll cook for Nittai. And then, no, you take care of yourself if you cannot take care of your bowl. Now, how would we accept this? Oh, he's so offensive. No, he is not. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he knew that. He forbid his disciples to go and see Vamsadas Babaji because he knew that they will make offenses. But he was not offensive. He was on a completely different platform than we are. And because we could not see and understand his platform, that's why we would make offenses. So we cannot judge somebody, who is on different level just because we think, I would do it like this and then that's how it's supposed to be. No. We have to always understand Guru Sadhu Shastra, association. We have to always approach the senior Vaishnavas before we make any decision, before we criticize someone, before we offend someone. Vaishnava aparat in our society is so common. Nobody is really afraid of committing Vaishnava aparat, which is very, 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 very dangerous. We were in Uttarkashi with the kids, trying to stay one night in the ashram. Mayavadis, but okay, sadhus, so we just sleep there overnight and continue going. They said, okay, you can stay. Later on, they say, no, you have to leave. You cannot stay. You are from ISKCON, you have to leave. Okay. We didn't know why. All right. So we were going. But we asked that Mahant, why is that? He said, here in Vrindavan, the Ramakrishna Hospital, their guru was admitted. And it was a bigger room. And there was also one devotee in the same room. Devotees come visit the devotee. And they would bring Mahaprasad. And they would give Mahaprasad to the devotee. And they would give everybody to the in the room. But they saw that man, he is a Mayavadi. He was, you won't get, you rot in hell. They gave everybody else but him. That's our society. It's wrong. So we have to educate ourselves how to behave. Okay, why shouldn't he get? Mahaprasad is for everyone. Read Jaiva Dharma, right? Mayavadi Sannyasi, by some good fortune, then he gets to hear holy name. And eventually he becomes Vaishnava Sannyasi. Not that he is condemned. Everybody can get purified who wants to. So even Mahavari Sannyasi, okay, he can make a mistake. If he understands he made a mistake, he can get purified. Who are we to judge people like this? You understand? Okay, and about the education, then if you have the proper training and you want to do something, then you can do it. What is the need of us to become the academia? We have much greater education which we can give to the world. Srila Prabhupada gave us. There are devotees, they go around countries and they teach the educators. They get to talk and explain to the president what to do. Just because they are following Prabhupada's teachings and they work. And these people are very sensitive, they understand, they want what works. And I know that from the first hand, so that's how it is. And I know when the boys get trained in Gurukul, what they can do. See, there are three levels, three basic levels of education. Shravanam, Mananam, Niridhyasanam. Shravanam is what do you learn? Acquire knowledge. Right? You get from hearing, from seeing, right? No. You from association, everything. So that's the modern education. Just anyway, internet, or no, just have a knowledge. And if you don't know something, Google it. You will find it. You can get any gyan, anything you want. But the shravanam, that's the first level. Mananam, no, it's contemplation. You have to contemplate. That gyan, how do you apply it in your life? So it becomes vigyan. Gyan is useless if you don't apply it. Gyan must become vigyan. So the realization is niridhyasana. That's the important part. If you don't have that, whatever you know, it's useless. So the modern education makes you, starts to, you know, teach you how to contemplate from the graduate level. In the schools, they don't really, you know, teach you contemplation. You have to, you know, come to it yourself. They give you a lot of gyan, but they are not leading you to realize it as a vigyan. Vedic does that. Vedic knowledge, Vedic education does that. That's the strength of Gurukul. So then the boys may not know, you know, everything what an IIT student may know, but they know how to live. They know everything what they need to know. And if they want to know more, they have enough determination to learn it as they want, if they want, later on. So there's the training. The children should be trained how to develop the 26 qualities of a devotee. If they have that, then everything else, if still have material desires, they can persuade them. But because of their quality, of their qualities, they will understand, okay, I have to regulate my life. So I want that, but still, I will do it regulated way. That's the purpose of education. And the modern education doesn't give you that. And because it doesn't give you that, it's a slaughterhouse. Because actually it kills the purpose of your human life. If you don't realize Krishna in this life, it's a waste. So if you utilize that, you know, the modern education as a means on top of your character, of your qualities, to use it as a preaching tool, then it's okay. But if you use it as the means to live your life, it's wrong. Hare Krishna. Jai Granth Rashimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Pramanande.